Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Welcome back to the Powered by Transova podcast. Sarah and Emily here again with you all. And today we have Claire DeOrnelis. She is a client service rep for Central Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, and the beef clients that are in that area. And Claire is a huge asset to our team. She's been with us 7 years. Actually, we started within a month of each other, Sarah. So we went through embryologist training together.
So you probably spent some quality time together is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes. we've been through a good chunk. But Claire is super talented in what she does in relating to our clients. And she brings a great insight into our company and our toolbox of services.
Yeah, she's definitely, she talks about everything that she kind of covers or is in charge of, and she has a lot of moving pieces. And so she does a lot of coordinating, and I think she does a really good job at it. And so I'm thankful for her multitasking abilities because she handles client service and she handles continuous improvement. So she's got a lot on her plate, but she definitely does a great job.
Yeah, it's always interesting to talk to these client service reps because they all do basically similar things or have similar responsibilities, but the way that they approach them may be a little bit different. So it's interesting to hear Claire's approach to different things and how she sets expectations ahead of time for clients and delivering results. So we're very fortunate to have Claire on the podcast today. All right. Well, Claire, thank you so much for joining us on our Powered by Transova podcast. It's great to have you on. Why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Transova?
Thanks for having me. I grew up on a club calf operation in Northeast Missouri. I grew up showing steers, cattle, pigs, and goats. And then from there, I went to junior college in Oklahoma, where I was on the judging team. And I finished out my college career at Kansas State University. I was actually on Dr. Shackey's last team and Chris's first team. From there, I started the week after I graduated at Transova Genetics. So it's been about 7 years. I spent my first 4 years being a professional services embryologist, traveling all over the place, from California to North Dakota, even out to the West Coast a little bit. And then some things in life happened and I got married and moved to Southern Iowa, where now I'm a client service representative for Illinois and Indiana and Central Iowa locations. I actually am very fortunate to work remotely from my home and service all of those clients that way from my desk here in Southern Iowa.
So it sounds like you keep busy, Claire, even if you're working from home.
I sure do. And on top of that, my husband and I have just a small cow herd with some Simmentals and some club calves. Those are a little bit of my escape. My routine involves going and feeding the cows, coming to work, going back to check and feed the cows, and then just start that all back over again. We have a show pig operation. Most of those pigs live in Illinois, so I'm very fortunate to have a father-in-law that takes care of them, and we try and get back there at least every other weekend to take care of them. So things stay pretty busy around here.
Yeah, I would say so. Geez, that's like a side hobby. That's a whole amount of work in and of itself. So kudos to you for doing all of that and keeping it together.
Yeah. My husband always jokes that someday that's going to be his full-time job, is taking care of all those. But I tell him that that's probably never going to happen. So we'll see.
I always tell my husband that too. And he says I have to support his farming habit. So I guess that's not in the cards for me either. I understand. Yeah. Claire, you've kind of talked about the different regions that you work with. Can you tell me exactly what sites you work with as a client service representative?
Yeah. So the one here in Central Iowa would be Olympic Genetics. Tom Graham is the owner there. It's located in Grinnell, just right off of 80. Then I work with the Prairie View Farms location, Alan Miller in Gridley, Illinois, Donor Solutions in Rensselaer, Indiana. Austin Wolf's the owner and operator there. And Double Diamond Genetics, which is Scott and Cindy Anderson in Chrisman, Illinois.
And can you give us a little bit more about, explain the sites, what services do they offer or what options do clients have at those locations? Mm-hmm.
So Double Diamond, they will offer donor housing through Scott and Cindy there. And we do IVF collections only at Double Diamond Genetics. And when we go to Olympic, we offer a full service there. So we can do conventional flushes, IVF collections, fresh and frozen transfers. And we're there every 2 weeks. I should probably back up and say Double Diamond, we're on a monthly IVF schedule there. When we go to Donor Solutions, we offer full services there as well. Frozen and fresh transfers, IVF collections, conventional flushes. We do a few preg checks while we're there. We go there, IVF collections are every other Tuesday, and conventional flushes are every Tuesday. So we're there every week at Donor Solutions. Prairie View Farms, we can do all of those things there as well. And we go there about every 2 weeks.
And how often are you guys going to Olympic, Claire? Did you say that? I probably missed that.
We are every 2 weeks from about November till July. And then we usually take a break the month of August into the beginning of September. But we tried to go every 2 weeks as long as we have donors. And I don't think we've ever had to cancel. So it's pretty steady other than the month of August.
Awesome. So I think it's probably safe to say that you work with some of our busiest satellite centers.
I personally feel like I do. A lot of those places, actually all of those, a lot of the clients are all hauling clients. There's not like one key big person or the only one person goes to that satellite center. So I have a wide variety of clients that travel from all over and they have a lot of working parts. And we also do Willigo service on farm transfers for those clients as well. So we have a few moving pieces with a lot of people involved.
Sounds like a lot of coordinating.
Yes. Sometimes I feel like that's my job is sole coordination of where the embryos and where the people need to be.
But that keeps you busy on top of everything else.
Yes.
So Claire, you probably, are talking with clients 24/7. You probably have to shut your phone off sometimes, but when you're talking with these clients and maybe even newer clients, what are some common questions that you get from them and that you answer?
Well, with new clients, the first and most popular question is always, what's it going to cost me? So we kind of have to go through, what they want to do, what's best for your donor. If you need to do a conventional flush or if we need to go straight to IVF. Another is what we've been getting a lot recently is if they should stimulate their donors, how those shot schedules work, especially with IVF, and then what they should expect. So really setting up expectations from the front side. I always hope that our results are better than what we set up for expectations. But to be clear out front that, all your oocytes aren't going to make embryos, but this is what we can expect from your donor or from history with that donor and that sire.
When you're talking with those clients, you obviously have an embryology background, a lot like Emily. And I'm sure you have as many stories as she does. We got in discussion with Mick about that in another episode, but that's for later. How can clients customize their IVF programs? Can you kind of talk us through some of that?
Absolutely. So we can start with how often you want to collect your donor. Some donors work better once a month, some every 2 weeks. Some about, housing your donor at the facility if you don't have time to do shots or don't feel comfortable giving your cow shots or just don't have time to run her back and forth every 2 weeks. So we usually start there. On top of that, we start with if you think your can if you we talk through your donor's history, if she's ever been exposed to FSH, how she's done in the past, if she has any breeding problems, anything like that, and how we feel about stimulating the donor. I usually walk through them, what to expect a little bit with stimulating versus not stimulating your cows. So we can go that route, setting up how much you want. You know, if you think some cows need to be put on shots and others don't, we go through the breed of your cow, breed of your donors. And then I like to talk about what kind of semen you're going to use and the sire. We're very fortunate to have a very good system that tells us how bulls have performed in our system. So I kind of always ask, you know, what kind of bulls are you thinking? We can definitely look up how they've done in the past and go from there, as far as before you go spend $500 on a unit of semen or just $50 on a unit of semen, and what works best for your donor. Also, then we start going through embryo plans. You know, if you have a whole herd of recips, we can sure talk about sending fresh ship. So we can send your embryos fresh back to you or have one of our vets come on farm to do those transfers. Have you haul into one of our facilities to do those transfers, or the fact that Transova owns the recip herd and we can sure talk about putting those embryos into our recips.
Claire, I like your perspective on this because a lot of times when we talk about options for clients, a lot of our team will say, oh, well, it depends on your goals. And I think you hit on logistics of it all of, you know, looking at the background of the cow and your embryo plans. Do you have recips? A lot of that logistics are variables that go into all of this, which I think is super important.
Right. And their goals are always important, too. And I feel like they're coming to us because one of their goals is to make embryos. At the end of the day, what I always tell them is, I don't want to have to call you to tell you that we have bad results. I'm not going to say that that won't happen. But if we can do everything possible to get you the best results, then that's where we want to start.
I really do like, too, that you talk about setting expectations, because so many times, you know, internally, even we talk about, you know, hey guys, this donor made X number of embryos and it's, you know, kind of an astronomical amount, but it's hard to communicate that with clients because that's not always what they can expect. Do you have a hard time setting expectations, or do you think clients usually understand, you know, this is what's coming down the pipe?
I think it varies based off the client. I think sometimes I could tell you the same thing over and over till I'm blue on the face and maybe they didn't hear it. But I like to set them up front. Yes. I don't like having the bad conversations. And sometimes, you know, I told them that this is what you should expect and it didn't happen. So I think that helps a little bit with my embryology background, as far as I can give you some guesses as to what I think happened without having to say, oh, let me stop. Let me go talk to the lab and let me call you back, which I'd still go do all of those things for everyone. But I think that helps. I really enjoy having my embryology background. I don't even know how I would function doing this job without it. Just knowing, you know, a few of the ins and outs and all the things that can affect it. But at the end of the day, there's a million things that could affect why you got one embryo instead of five. And I think that's really important for everyone to remember, which we work with some great cattle producers. And I think we all know, being in the ag industry, that basically we buy one big lottery ticket every year. And so we're probably not any better than the gambler sitting out in Vegas.
That's probably too true, unfortunately. You mentioned earlier, Claire, that, you know, whether the client is spending $50 for a straw semen or $500, could you maybe talk a little bit about what, you know, if there's a client that has his heart set on that $500 straw of semen, what options he has within embryo transfer and IVF for that expensive straw of semen?
Yeah. So a lot of bulls, depending on how you want to do the semen type, a lot of bulls will cover more than one donor. So I really like to research our history on how that donors or how that sire has performed, and how many donors historically we have covered with that one unit, or how many oocytes. That's a big important part of how far that straw semen can go. But he can definitely take that straw semen and reverse sort it for males or females. we have history. As long as we've seen the bull, I can sure look it up and see how the history has done. If it's not real grand, I usually try and talk them into using it not sorted. So we can just use that semen just the way it is. It will cover a lot more donors that way. So if he has more than one, or maybe that's another way to get some a few more in. So he has a wider variety of genetics there. We can also, you know, he could ask his friends to kind of share the unit of semen. I've seen guys, you know, post online that they're doing a semen slot sale. Those seem to be becoming more popular where they sell the slots. And you get, somehow you get, that's how you get in on using some of that very rare semen.
So Claire, I think that we've probably talked about this before, but at trade shows, it's always fun to go out and talk to people because there's still a lot of people that don't realize that embryo transfer is so readily available in our industry, you know? So I guess, you know, somebody that is wanting to jump in, what is the biggest tip that you have for a new client?
Ask questions. Even if you think they're silly, ask them. Ask me whatever you think that you need to ask to make sure that this goes as smoothly as possible. I try my very best, and I think all of our client service do, to tell you everything that we think you need to know. What my new favorite saying that I've recently learned is, you don't know what you don't know. And so ask questions, ask us. Even if you think you're bothering us, you're not. We want to set everything up for success. So ask us whatever you think you need.
I like the, you don't know what you don't know. And I do think it's important that even if it's a basic question, and we get a lot of those at trade shows, you know, just having that answer for them, because sometimes they start at a very basic knowledge of embryo transfer. And sometimes we deal with people who have way more extensive knowledge. And so it's, I like that you've prefaced that with just ask questions, because everybody is different and what their questions are different. Tell me a little bit, what did you learn coming from an embryology role? What was your biggest learning curve as you transitioned into client service?
Probably my biggest learning curve is going from totally hands-on to totally not hands-on. I set up the computer and enter everything, but I have no control. The only thing I have control of is what I entered. And so from being a person that was in the lab and, you know, oh, I could just go pull a shipment quick to make this happen, or, you know, we could freeze those embryos. I know the results right away, even though everything is in real time now with the way our system works. I think just the approach that now it's not physically in my hands was a little bit hard. And that's probably just in my own personality type. But I'm very grateful for my time for being an embryologist. Like I said, like I have a better knowledge of, you know, where the oocytes came from, the whole process, where something maybe could go wrong, where something goes great. And just explaining things, you know, if something does go wrong, I have a better knowledge of how that could have happened, and hopefully explaining it better to you. We really hope that those situations never happen, but unfortunately we work with a lot of people and people make mistakes sometimes.
One of the other cool things that I think that we haven't talked a whole lot about is the My Transova app. Maybe you could go into that a little bit, Claire, and talk about what it is and its benefits.
Yeah, the My Transova app is great. So we can access, you can access your account at any time. So what you see on your account is what I see. So as soon as your aspiration results are entered, you see them as that exactly as soon as I see them. And when your embryos are frozen, you can see all of that as soon as I'm frozen. So as soon as they are frozen. So we can set you, as long as you have a Transova account, any of the client service representatives can set you up with a My Transova. You just need a login and we give you a temporary password. And from there, you can view your statements. They're actually on there when the day they get mailed out. So you can see those sooner. You can see all of your IVF history. You can filter it down by donor. You can see your embryos. You can even filter those down just by donor. You can also go to your invoices and select a date range. This is one that's been really popular for my clients here recently, especially one girl is doing her FFA record books. And so we were going through how to, one of the donors, that's her parents', is actually her. So we were going through and we went to her invoices and filtered it to just that donor and a date range. And so she could see all the expenses that happened on that donor from that specific date range. That comes in handy a lot with partnerships, especially if you haven't set one up through our system. I think that's been the most helpful tool. And then everyone knows in the breeding cattle industry, all of those recovery dates for your ET calves, all of those are on there as well. Of course, at any time, all the client service representatives are sure happy to get you that information. But this one can be an app on your phone that you just click, and probably easier than shooting a text to one of us. So it's a very handy, very useful tool. And we also just updated it where if you sell some embryos to a client that doesn't have an account, we added a column of a sold to. So if you sell some embryos and they're already sold, we can sure enter that in there. And that's kind of a reminder for you on your inventory as well that, hey, I can't sell those embryos again.
It sounds like a very useful information, not only for clients, but for you too, I guess for everybody, just to keep track of everything that's going on, especially if you're running multiple donors and things that way. That just sounds like a really good tool that people should sign up for if they haven't already.
For sure.
Claire, I think you're involved in some continuous improvement projects. Can you tell us a little bit about some of your other projects that you have going on within Transova?
Yeah. So the sold to column was one of our biggest ones. And so that one for now is the way that we can do it. We're always looking to improve that and make it better and more streamlined. It seems like there's more and more embryo sales every day that you see, which is great for news for us. So we are also working on our recip movement program. So our recips that are housed here specifically in Sioux Center, we've also been working with our team in Texas and Missouri to try and help that be a little bit smoother. As far as getting those don't purchase recips out to their new home and new owner, making it easier for everyone involved. So the client, the recip team, client service, and kind of helping to bridge the gap a little bit with some of the haulers that haul all of those recips out of there. We would like for collection forms to eventually be on MyTransOva, especially for the dairy clients that have to send those in to their breeds. Hopefully I'm not making any promises that IT doesn't know that we are working on. And then there's just a list of some things to make the interface that we use called Overdrive just a little bit easier for client service. And then there are a few that have been filtering in here. So, and there's four gals, including myself, on that committee. And so we're due here to meet back and tackle our next project for that.
Never a dull moment at Transova, that's for sure.
No.
Claire, you know, we've talked a lot about in our past podcasts about how rough the last year has been for everybody. What are you looking forward to in the next 6 to 8 months?
Well, currently I'm looking forward to warmer weather and no snow, but maybe in 6 months, don't ask me that question. You know, we're getting in. So a majority of my clients are beef clients. And so we're getting into what we call go time, which is the busiest time of the year. And for beef clients, and, you know, as much as it might stress me out sometimes, it's definitely one of the most exciting times of the year. And on top of that, you know, everybody's calves are hitting the ground. It's great to see all of those Transova made babies hitting the ground, and then that we're in the heart of, you know, making them again. And so, yeah. And like I said, go time might stress me out a lot, but it's also my favorite time of year. And, you know, hopefully we're not anywhere close to the way it was in 2020, and we're just going to keep moving forward. So hopefully we get to have all those junior nationals and get back to maybe a somewhat normal life for everybody and all of our producers. I know that, you know, even just getting to go to one show this winter seemed to give everybody a little more positive upbeat that hopefully things were going to go better.
I think we would all appreciate quote unquote normal again. And like you said, everybody's looking forward to events, and I think we appreciate them even more this year than we ever have. You talked about those Transova babies and, you know, how rewarding those are. What do you consider success in your role? Like when you wake up in the morning, what is a good day, you know, for your position and all of your responsibilities? Cause there's multiple.
Yeah. I consider good days, you know, cat donors doing their best, hitting good EDRs, getting to share good news, with everyone. Heck, I'd love it if every day I got to share good news and never had to tell anybody some bad news. But that's probably not exactly realistic. At the end of the day, success, having a good day, working through everything, coming up with a plan, and honestly, Transova babies hitting the ground and satisfied clients.
Those are all good answers. And it's too bad that we do have to deliver good news, because it would make everybody's lives easier if we never did.
Well, thank you, Claire, for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I think one thing that I will ask before we wrap up here is you help us with our scholarship applications every year, which we really appreciate as well. You know, as a college kid or maybe somebody in high school that is looking to get into the ag industry, what advice can you give them, you know, as far as building a resume or looking to get more experience or just even breaking into the industry as a whole?
Yeah. So as far as your resume goes, I highly encourage that you use all the resources and tools that you have on campus. I went to Kansas State and we had like a job recruiting. I can't think of what the actual name of the place was, but it was literally in the middle of campus, and you could go there and bring your resume back 20 times. And you could see a different person every time, or you could see the same person every time, but their job was literally there to help you to build your resume, to make it correct. And so, you know, Word has all of those great resume tools, but I still am very old school and asking people. That's literally their job, and they've been through it a million times. So have them look over your resume. Have, you know, another person who's already in the ag industry look over your resume. Most people are more than happy to help you try and find a job. As far as building your resume, you know, put yourself out there. You can call and ask people if they're having internships or if they'd even let you just do a job shadow for the day, or if they have any summer hiring programs for while you're in college. And just putting yourself out there. I know the more people you know, the further it seems that everybody gets. So, you know, using all of your resources. I know we had to take a senior class where we had to do practice job interviews. It might seem silly, but even if you just ask your friend, give them a list of interview questions and have them ask you, it's just getting all those pre-jitters out. And like we talked a little bit earlier, just always answer the question to the best of your ability. Even if you don't know, just, you know, kindly say that you don't know, but definitely give it your best answer. And put yourself out there and don't be afraid to ask people for help.
I like the recommendation about, you know, utilizing the resources you have, because there are resources for help with resume. I mean, if you don't know what goes on a resume or where do I even start, I think there's either A, people that you probably know that can help, or B, resources on campus or high school or wherever you might be. So I think that was great advice, Claire.
Yeah. And odds are you're already paying for that to be a service provided to you, so you might as well take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
And I'll add too, if you get turned down for something, don't be discouraged. I mean, there's a lot of great applicants out there, and and you probably were in the top, you know, concession for that scholarship or job. And if you didn't get it, like, don't be discouraged. Claire, correct me if I'm wrong, but you and I think both applied for the Transova internship and didn't get it when we were in college. And now we both work for Transova.
Right. Yeah. I applied for the internship, did not get it. Don't discourage yourself. I've worked here since the week I graduated from college. So just because I didn't get the internship doesn't mean that we're not looking for new hires. You know, internships are, we can't hire everybody, and we don't have that many during the summertime, but we definitely have a lot of employees and are always looking for a new person to add.
Yep. And I think I even applied for a different position before I was hired too at Transova. So even if you don't get the job at Transova that you apply for first, apply for something else. You never know. So.
Yeah. And I think you two are good testaments to that. You started in one position and kind of have grown and evolved to a different position. So like Emily said, if, you know, just apply for a position and you can always figure out what the right fit is, you know, maybe later, or switch as you grow or evolve or the company evolves, there's always different opportunities out there.
All right. Well, we won't take up any more of your time here, Claire. Thank you again for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. And I guess I'll be back for the Facebook.
That's right. We are doing a Facebook Live with Claire and Allison May on March 8th. Yeah. Yes. Awesome. Yeah. So be sure to check that out. And I'm sure this won't be the last time that we're hearing from Claire.
All right.
Thanks, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.